cá estamos nós para uma conversa com a diretora do Centro de Estudos Portugueses da UMass Dartmouth, a doutora Paula Noversa. Vamos lhe dar as boas-vindas. Ela vem cá nos falar das atividades do Centro de Estudos Portugueses e dos projetos para o futuro, as atividades realizadas no último ano e os projetos que o Centro tem para o futuro. I want to welcome you, Dr. Paula Noversa. You are bilingual, obviously, so you understood what I want to ask you first. I would like to start by asking you to describe the activities that the Center for Portuguese Studies at UMass Dartmouth was able to put in place this year, very difficult year, 2021.
Good afternoon, Irene, and thank you for having me on your program. 2021 was, in fact, a difficult year, and it was my first year as the director of the center, which I think also made it a little more complicated to sort of get into the swing of things. The university, UMass Dartmouth, was limited. There could not be any activities on campus throughout the academic year. So what we had instead is we had two talks that were given as webinars. We offered in April as sort of a salute to the Carnation Revolution, or in honor of the Carnation Revolution, we gave access over that weekend for individuals in the community to view the film Capitães de Abril. That went over very, very well. We had over 200 views of the film over that weekend. So we tried our best to bring together programs that could be accessed either via Zoom or streamed. Now, the first on-campus event was actually an event that was sponsored by the center and the archives. It was a visit by the minister of the Portuguese communities, Bertha Nunes. She visited the campus along with the Portuguese ambassador and a series of others in a delegation. They visited the campus. They came to the archives. She had requested to visit the archives. In particular, the chancellor was there, of course, to greet her. It was a wonderful event. And again, that was the first on-campus event in 2021. That was in the summer. In the fall, luckily, we were able to open our campus back up to students. We had classes that ran both in person and online, but the campus was open to events. So luckily, we were able to fill the position of the Elio and Emilia Pedroso Luso American Development Foundation Endowed Chair in Portuguese Studies. We could not fill that in the spring of 2021. And so I had requested to be able to roll the funds over and have someone come in the fall. We did, and his name was Eric Maurier-Genot, professor at Queen's University in Belfast. And he offered a series of talks, public talks, one on jihadism in Mozambique that was well attended, and then another on the Roman Catholic Church and the decolonization of the Portuguese Empire in Africa. Both of those talks were both in person, and we offered the opportunity for people to attend it via Zoom. And of course, he taught a course, as is required of any endowed chair. He taught a course in the graduate program in the Portuguese department. So it's been a great year, even though, you know, we're limited, you know, of course, because we're sort of starting back slowly. But as I said, we were able to have a series of good events. And of course, the end of the year we had our holiday party, as we always do, to thank the community for their support throughout the year.
Thank you for a very complete description about what happened during this year. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking how difficult it is
to manage
a center for Portuguese studies in a university that is implanted among a Lusophone community, very diverse. While the academic context, right, takes us in one direction, on the other side, you have the community around that justifies the existence of a Center for Portuguese Lusophone Studies. How do you read the way the community, the common person, interacts with the center?
So I think that the community is very supportive of the center. I think it, again, because of the limitations in terms of on-campus events, it's been a difficult time for me to really engage with the community. But I think that the attendance of the film that was live streamed, where again we had, you know, over 200 viewers. You know, that's extraordinary. What that tells me is that the community is willing to participate when they can't, right? That was a safe way for the community to engage in an event that we were sponsoring. Prior to becoming the director of the center, and concurrently, while I'm director of the center, I'm also the faculty director of the Freire Mendes Portuguese American Archives. And we had held an event for the anniversary event where we brought in the pianist Inês from Boston, and she gave a public performance. That public performance was well attended. It was during the week, but we still had just over 80 people in attendance. So I think that when the community is offered the opportunity, they are more than happy to engage with the center. I think that as we hopefully come out of this pandemic, we'll be able to see better in-person attendance at events on campus. That's my hope.
I also would like to ask you to talk in terms of future. What are your goals, future goals for the center?
So I'm glad you asked that question. I became director of the center via an election process. That's how it works. Members of the executive board have a meeting, and those individuals who would like to run for office offer a vision statement for the other members to read and then consider, and then that's how we're elected. We're elected based on the vision statement. In my vision statement, I listed several priorities, and even though we have been in a pandemic, I have still been able to make some headway in terms of the meeting the goals, you know, that I had set for the center, or at least initiating those goals. So two key goals were the creation of a museum of the Portuguese-speaking world. The idea of a museum of the Portuguese-speaking world is one that I've had for a couple of years now. I presented this concept to the administration, the school administration. They liked the idea. And the first step towards realizing this goal of creating a museum of the Portuguese-speaking world, and when I say this, I want you to understand that what I'm really talking about is the construction of a building on campus that would house the Center for Portuguese Studies and Culture. And then within that building, you would have a museum, among other things, right? There'd be other offices and office suites. But the key to this building is that it would house this Museum of the Portuguese-speaking World. The Museum of the Portuguese-speaking World would have two different areas. So one area would be dedicated to the Portuguese diaspora in North America. So because it's a museum, it would work in tandem with the archives, right? The archives collects documents that sort of tell the history or give evidence to the settlement of the Portuguese in North America. What the museum would do is it would complement that, because unlike an archive, a museum collects artifacts. And so the museum would be the space where we could curate a collection of artifacts that would reflect the settlements of the Portuguese in the United States. In a different area of the museum, we would have exhibit halls that would be dedicated to the Portuguese-speaking world. And so you could have an exhibit hall that was dedicated to Mozambique, another one to Angola, to Cabo Verde, to Guinea-Bissau, you know. So all of the areas that, all of the nations that have Portuguese as their language would then be reflected in this museum of the Portuguese-speaking world. There would be no permanent collection in those areas. Those exhibit halls would be used to exhibit traveling exhibits. So the job of the museum curator for those particular halls, the job would be to work with national museums and private collectors from those countries to create exhibits. So they would be borrowed, materials would be borrowed, exhibits would be curated, and then they would remain in place for a set period of time, say 6 months or 8 months, and then it would be changed, right? Then they'd go back to their respective owners, and then they would start the process all over again. The nice part about that is that it would be constantly changing. And so you'd always have new artwork, new displays to come and visit. So it would be it would always be an attraction, both to people in the community and to travelers. So that's the most ambitious goal that I have. Now, where are we in that process? We've initiated the process in terms of we've hired a company to begin a feasibility study. And it's really the feasibility study that will tell us whether we'll be able to realize this goal. And not whether we can realize the goal, but whether the community wants it, whether it'll enhance the community economically, the region economically. That's what a feasibility study does. And that's what we're looking forward to hearing at the end of this feasibility study, which I believe will end. We should be getting some of the results in the summer.
Would you consider including other communities, I mean non-Portuguese communities, since our region is composed of so many
different diasporas?
I'm thinking about the Lebanese, the Italians, the French Canadians, the Polish. I don't want to forget anyone, but we're very diverse. Would that be an idea that you would like to approach, a comparative approach between communities with other linguistic backgrounds that were responsible for making this region what it is nowadays?
I don't really think that would fit with the mission of the Center for Portuguese Studies and Culture. When you're creating this vision statement, you're supposed to have in mind the mission of the Center for Portuguese Studies. Could we have lecturers who would come in and give comparative talks? Yes, that would be wonderful, actually. But what you're talking about is really more of a museum of immigration to include all the regions, to include all of the peoples, which would really be extraordinary, especially in this region, because this region is very, very rich in terms of different ethnicities, different cultures, etc.
So this is your major project. Other projects for the future? This is huge. I don't want to
right. This is a huge
say that
it,
so you have one, space it's, for it's, more.
Right, exactly. So again, you know, the first step in this is the feasibility study. If the feasibility study comes back and says, this will not help the region, this will not this will not promote the region or help the region economically, then, you know, we'd have to take a step back. But again, you know, you have to pursue these ideas. right? You have to make that first step forward, or nothing ever happens, right? So that's the first step, and I'm fully aware that, you know, that we're going to learn a lot, you know, come this summer about whether or not this works for this region. The other project, the other really important project for me is the creation of an endowed scholarship fund called the Iransa Endowed Scholarship Fund. The point of the Endowed Scholarship Fund is to create a fund that will permanently have scholarships for our students that are pursuing either study abroad in Portugal or studying within the Master's in Teaching, the 4+1 program for Portuguese. So as you know, we have a fantastic MAT 4+1 program in which students can earn their bachelor's in Portuguese, get their teaching certificate, and get their and also earn their master's in teaching in 5 years. That'll prepare them for a career teaching Portuguese immediately. They'll never have to go back if they don't want to, because they'll be fully accredited, you know, fully certified by the state. So what I wanted to do was create scholarships, graduate scholarships, that would help to fund that extra year. So we would create an endowed scholarship fund in which we would give at least 2 scholarships to worthy students to be able to complete that final year. And then the other scholarships would be for study abroad in Portugal. I'd like to have at least 2 created for the summer, one for summer study in June, and another in July, and then also a semester abroad, so a full semester abroad in Portugal, helping with that funding. So the summer one would be $2,500, and then the semester abroad scholarship would be a $5,000 scholarship. For the graduate scholarship, it would also be a $5,000 scholarship. With these scholarships, you know, it would really help our students. I'm sure you're aware that, you know, in our region, a lot of our students at UMass Dartmouth struggle economically to finish their degree. And this scholarship would help our students not only finish their studies, but also enhance their studies with a summer abroad or a semester abroad possibility.
I wish you all the success, and I also wish that your project evolves in a way that also focuses on other areas beyond education, because we know that sometimes the teaching of Portuguese can grow, but can't grow as much as we would like it to grow. So I wish you all the success to imagine other spaces where Portuguese and Lusophone cultures can also be developed for the progress of the American society.
Oh, I agree. I mean, one of the things that you have that I don't think people understand, that's both members of the community and my colleagues at UMass Dartmouth. Many of them don't understand that the Portuguese language is considered a critical language by the State Department. And so if you're interested in a career in the State Department, Portuguese would be a language that you should think about pursuing in order to gain employment there. Also, again, this is the State Department. I'm not talking about, you know, local employment. Portuguese is one of the few languages in the world that's still expanding. It's not contracting, it's expanding. And so again, that makes it important in terms of international commerce, right? International business. So the study of Portuguese, I mean, the 4+1 is important because it's the teaching of Portuguese. And, you know, a lot of times, believe it or not, we currently are not able to meet the demand for qualified Portuguese teachers each year. We're not able to meet that. So what I'm saying is that we receive calls to say, you know, do we have enough You know, do you have someone that you can refer to us as a Portuguese teacher on a high school level? And we are not able to fulfill that. So there's a higher demand than what we're able to fill. So if you want to be a teacher of Portuguese language, you definitely should pursue that, because there is a demand. There's actually a high demand for that. And that demand is growing nationally, not just in this region. So that's important. It's an important factor to understand. But even if outside of teaching, you're right, outside of teaching, Portuguese is important. And so, again, study abroad, studying the language and then studying abroad can help anyone, whether they're interested in the sciences, whether they're interested in law, whether they're interested in working in terms of diplomacy, you know, for the State Department. There are many, many areas in which Portuguese is an advantage. And it's not just an advantage locally. It's an advantage globally.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
It was my pleasure.